Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm not sure where that extra sound came from, but we'll take it. Hi, you are listening to Positive Vibes with Kelly Fitzgerald. My guest today is really, of all of the shows I've done recently, this guy is like right up my alley here. So welcome to the show. Ronnie Dawson is sort of a UFO expert of sorts. And we're going to talk about some of his experiences and some of the things I've seen, and we'll see where this show ends up. Thanks for being on the show, Ronnie.
It's good to be here.
I want to just jump right into your last experiences, because I have a theory that people who have experiences once will have them throughout their lives. I think that's kind of what happens. I know certainly when I was a kid, I saw things that I have continued to see and experience throughout my life. Do you think that happens? Or they just like pick a couple of people or actually a lot of people, and the same people have experiences over and over?
You know, yeah, it's a good question, but I'm not really sure how to answer it, because, I didn't. When I was young, my grandmother died, and she came and see me kind of in a ghost apparition and told me not to go see her at the hospital. So I've kind of always believed in ghosts, and after that event. But as far as the UFO thing, I didn't really, I believe there was life out there, but I didn't really believe in UFOs until I started seeing them in 2009.
Right.
And I just started seeing mysterious lights moving about the place that couldn't be explained. And I'm thinking, maybe that's an alien craft, And then I seen I witnessed a firsthand cattle abduction, which it pretty much verified to me that these guys aren't from around here. I mean, I seen them lift a cow up in a blue light, and the cow was whipping its head back and forth. And it was the most horrifying thing I've ever seen, I think. And it pretty much woke me up to the fact that we're being visited by extraterrestrials here on our planet, and our government's not telling us about it, if they even know it. And then a little bit later on, it was like I couldn't go out there without seeing these weird lights, and it was almost like they were following me. And no matter where I was at, they would show up. I couldn't go out there at night without seeing something. And so I definitely had the attention of something. And when I seen the cow abduction, I was like, we don't have any kind of technology to lift a cow up in a light like that. So it has to be something not from here. And then I was dealing with skeptics trying to prove it. You know, when you go into the UFO community, you got these guys, they want proof. We want proof, We want rock hard, solid, hard proof. We don't want to believe you. Everybody's a nut. And so we want hard evidence. So I was trying to catch pictures, trying to get some evidence to prove to these guys, and I'm seeing stuff out here. And I had a friend, and we were like UFO watching, and we were hoping to catch some video. And I had a green laser, and I was wanting to shoot the laser at the UFO and see if the crash propulsion system would cause the laser beam light to bend. And if my buddy could catch it on the video recording, I thought, man, we'd really have some good solid evidence. Well, UFO showed up, and then I shot the light at the thing, and my buddy had never seen a UFO, and he was just so freaked out. The camera was laying right beside him. He never even bothered to video the whole event. He was just in shock. And so I was frustrated. I missed my opportunity, but I think me shining the laser light on the UFO, I think it got their attention, and I didn't know they followed me home that night, I guess. And the next night, I had an alien home invasion. And I thought the cow abduction was scary. And there's nothing scarier than an alien home invasion. I mean, I just laid down and went to bed, hadn't even went to sleep, just barely even hit the mattress. And all of a sudden, my house started being ransacked. And when I tried to get up to go check it out, I realized I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I could think and I could see, but I couldn't get out of that bed to save my life. And my cat was running. I had one house cat in the house, and the cat running there and was looking outside the door like something's in the house other than me and him. And me and him were supposed to only be the ones in the house. And finally, the cat run in there with me and jump up on the bed. Well, I'm still paralyzed in bed, but the cat's not. He's scared to death. And all of a sudden, I see these little creatures running through my living room, ransacking, like they're looking. And I think the only thing I can think is they're looking for the laser, and they're running about the living room. I seen one run across a vertical wall, like gravity didn't even apply to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing was about 18 inches tall and just lightning fast. And I seen one run straight up the ceiling and push off the ceiling and then run back down to the floor. And I mean, I've never seen anything like that before. I mean, how do you even explain that? But I realized then I was hoping it was raccoons or squirrels. And then after seeing those things run across the wall, I'm like, oh my God, this is ET. He paid me a visit for what we did last night, you know? So I'm a full believer at this point. And anyway, they ransacked my house. They ran up underneath the bed. They shook the hell out of it. At one point, the cat took off running for his life out of the living room. And eventually they got to where the laser was being kept. They didn't take the laser, but the whole invasion stopped. So I'm thinking they were just checking out the laser, you know. So they found the laser, checked it out, and then left it and took off. And I was reporting this stuff to MUFON and all these other guys, and they want evidence, they want proof. But people still aren't willing to believe you. I mean, nobody sent no researchers over here. Nobody sent nobody over here to collect forensic evidence of any sort. And there would have been some here because I had ET running around my living room. You know, if you would have came over here with a team, you probably could have got something. But nobody does that. Everybody just accused you of being a UFO nut. But it was about 1 year after that, I had a mass. I seen like three UFO in 1 hour at work while I was working in the oil field, and got some video footage of it. For the first time, I was able to catch some video evidence of the craft. And some of the craft had creatures in it. Some of the craft had creatures on it. And you can go to Google Images and type in Ronnie Dawson UFO pictures, and you can see the pictures that I took that night. It was 2011, and it was taken with the flip phone camera. It was like a military grade flip phone, which was what everybody had at the time. It was just before smartphones come out. And the images are great because they're taken of moving objects at night, but they're still great enough to make you scratch your head and go, "What in the hell is that?" And they are real UFOs, and there are real creatures on and in those damn things. And a lot of people don't like people who post that kind of stuff. So, my God, I was getting attacked by critics and everybody else, you know. Everybody saying, you're trying to make money, you're a liar. They don't want to believe you. But I felt like I had a personal responsibility to tell everybody, you know, when something like that happens to you, it's like I always too society to come out and say, look, this is what's going on. And whether people believe it or not, that's up to them. You know, I have no control over that. But I felt like I had a personal duty to do it. I damn sure wasn't worth the trouble. I've never made any money off of it. It's caused me a lot of grief. I've had people call my employer up trying to get me fired, saying that they have an insane person working for them. They need to terminate, you know. And so it sure cost me a lot more grief than it has benefit. But I just felt like I owed it to the public.
Well, and I think, you know, what you just said, that is exactly what I've heard from person after person after person. You're left with a sense of people need to know this is real. People need to know we're not being told the truth. That's whatever causes that feeling in people, there definitely is that feeling in people that you just have to tell people what you've seen and what you've been through.
I think it's
fear that keeps people from opening their minds, but I also think it's these huge cover-ups. You know, if you're always told that that's not real, it's not real, it's not real, then it's more difficult for you to accept someone else's story. And I think that is a lot of the blame for why people aren't as accepting.
Yeah, and you know, now that the government's coming out saying we're seeing stuff and we don't know what it is, you know, they're
right.
not just saying we know for a fact that we're being visited by people from other worlds, but they're saying we're seeing stuff that we can't explain. And UFO witnesses have been saying that for decades, you know. So now the
right.
government is starting to come on board and go, well, you know, we're seeing some stuff too, actually, you know. But
right, you know, and you mentioned the watching the cow get abducted. I think I have heard that story many times as well. And it seems like through the years, through the decades, people have been reporting these things happening. And, you know, with very few exceptions, the media is just like, you know, go away. We don't want to hear it. So
right. Yeah, it's easier to believe a person's crazy than it is to hear and believe that maybe what they're saying is true and that we're actually being visited by creatures from other worlds. But, you know, I had to weigh out, should I tell anybody or not? And I was thinking, well, you know, how would I feel if there was an alien invasion and they came down here and just started shooting and killing people and collecting them for food and knowing that I had kept a secret quiet, you know? And I'm
right.
like, man, I feel real bad, you know? The society got butchered by ET visitors, and I knew that they were here, and I didn't say anything, and I was like, well, you don't want to live with that, you know? And I was
I owe
it to society.
Yeah, I agree.
I owe you the truth when you believe it or not.
right, exactly. You do with this information whatever you're going to do with it, but, you know, now you have it.
But,
what do
you know,
think about... lately, it seems like I'm talking to a lot of people who are being abducted, and they're saying some of these beings are like robots, or they're like androids. They're not really biological beings. Have you experienced any of that?
Well, we were seeing stuff. We were catching stuff inside my home. The kids were taking pictures, and we were catching things in the videos that were weird, like a white box of smoke
mm-hmm.
would appear in the picture. And then I was recording a UFO video in my living room. It's called Man Escapes Alien Abduction, and it's on my YouTube channel. It has 906,000 views, And while I'm doing the interview and the guy's recording me, it was almost like E.T. decided to make an appearance. And it's this weird smoke cloud came in behind me, shot into my head, and then looked out of my mouth like to see if the camera was still on. And it all got caught on film. And it's just really weird, you know. And it was almost like we were talking about E.T. and E.T. was watching me and decided to make an appearance or to show that they were here. Present while this was being recorded. And I've had people say, yeah, that's some of the most amazing footage that they've ever seen of paranormal evidence, you know. So it's right there on YouTube, 906,000 views, but they've hidden it. They've taken once I was almost at a million views, it's almost like it disappeared. You really have a hard time finding the video now. It's almost like it's they've done something just to keep it out of the view of the public.
And that's entirely possible. Yeah, that sounds a lot like a lady in Florida that I interviewed several years ago. She said in her living room in Florida, they were watching TV. All of a sudden, in the middle of the room, there's a puff of smoke, and the small little ball started zipping around the room. And there was they got pictures of it. There was no information about what it could have been. They had no idea. Nobody wanted to investigate it, even though they did have pictures of it. And it's just really interesting that it was all of a sudden there was a little puff of smoke, and then there was this little ball that they said it looked like it was either a remote control type of situation, or it was piloted by very tiny little beings.
It's just strange, you know, seeing all that strange stuff and then catching it on film, and then actually, and some of the stuff that I didn't catch on film I saw with my own eyes
mm-hmm.
is just you know, one night I was fixing to go to bed, and I lay down in the bed, and the bedroom was light was on, and my wife said, I got to go talk to the kids and make sure the kids are doing what they're doing, and I'll be right back in the bedroom. So the bedroom light is still on. She's going to turn it off when she comes back in the room. So I laid in bed, knowing my wife would be there in just a couple of minutes, and I shut my eyes for a second, and I opened my eyes back up, and even with the bedroom light still on, there's this big white cloud that covered our king-size bed that was floating about 3 feet over my head, a thick, dense, white cloud of smoke. And I thought, my God, you know, something in the kitchen is burning, or there's a fire in the house or something,
right.
And it kind of freaked me out. I'm going, oh, my God, I better check this out. And then it just shot off from my bed. It shot right through the wall. And I saw this in a lit room, you know, with the light on. I'm like, my God! And I even felt through the wall, see if the wall was cold or hot or anything. And I'm thinking, man, there is some weird stuff going on here. Well, I had no idea how weird it was going to get, because in August of 2017, ET decided they would introduce themselves to me, and the way they did that was I'd worked all night. I had come home in the morning, and I was working the night shift and probably sleeping to about noon or so usually on my schedule. And it was probably 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was sleeping. And the next thing I know, it was like, I didn't know if it was a dream or what, but there was two females pulling my arms, like, and it felt like they were trying to pull me out of a mud hole or something, like like I was stuck, and they were trying to get me loose, and that slipped out of their grasp. And then I fell back to sleep, and I thought, my God, that was a weird dream. And then as soon as I lay back down again, all of a sudden they had me by the arms again and were dragging on me. And they said, and one of them leaned down and said, help us, help us. And I struggled to get loose, and they pulled me out of my sleeping body. I didn't know. They pulled my physical consciousness out of my sleeping body. I'm standing there, yep, beside them in the bedroom that I'm sleeping in, and they say, well, sorry for disturbing your rest, but we need to have a conversation. And I looked at them, and I thought, my wife is playing some kind of joke on me or something, and because these two girls are dressed up, one's like, God, she has to be 6'4", 6'6", has light blue skin, and completely, you know, does, and her eyes are gigantic. I mean, her eyes are like the size of our eye sockets. And the other one, it was a muscly, shorter female with big bushy hair, but you can see the tips of ears sticking through her hair, and she had a beautiful woman's face, but then her mouth turned into a lion's mouth. And I'm looking at these two going, my God, if these are costumes, they're really good. These are really good costumes,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
And they said, we're sorry for disturbing your sleep. You know, we need to have a conversation. And, you know, you're not going to be harmed. Your physical body's sleeping there in bed peacefully. And I thought, okay, what? And I looked, and there's somebody sleeping in my spot in the bed. And I'm going, is that me? So I tried to take a step forward, but what I didn't know was my legs were buried into the bed up to about the knees, and it was like, this was like some kind of ghost dimension they had me in. It was like, you can move through solid matter here, but you can't, it's not like smoke. It's like you have to struggle through solid matter. And my knees were buried up in the bed, and when I tried to take a step to look down at my own face to see if it was me sleeping in the bed, I fell forward, and I put my hand down to catch myself naturally, and it landed on my own leg and my sleeping in the bed. And then I kind of caught myself for a second, and then my hand went through my leg, and I could feel, it felt like I broke the bone in my leg, and my hand went through the leg, through the bone, and I could feel the softness of the mattress underneath my leg, and it freaked me the hell out. And I jumped back, and these two grabbed me, and they're kind of weighed me out of the bed, and I kind of had to struggle to walk out of the bed. And then I'm standing next to the bed looking at them, and I'm going, and they're going, you're fine, you know, you can move to solid matter here. And I'm going, okay. And I started to realize that, okay, this is ET. I'm talking to ET. I'm a human being talking to ET. And it looks like my body's sleeping there in the bed. And she said, you're fine here. You know, said, we need to have a conversation, and we've been watching you. And she said, we can move to solid matter here. She said, this is where we watch you from, you know. And she said, now put your hand on her. She had me put my hand on the other one's face. And she said, now push. And I put my hand, started moving in her head. I could feel her hair. I could feel her skin. I could feel her skull. And when I pushed harder, my hand went into her skull. And I could feel her brain matter, which felt wet and nasty. And I pulled my hand back, and I almost felt like my hand would be wet. But it wasn't. It felt wet, but it wasn't wet after I pulled it back out. And I said, oh, okay. She said, you can move to solid matter here. This is where we watch the people of your world. We've been studying you. And she kind of gave me a brief history. She said, we've been here since, you know, we said your nuclear test has sent light and radiation and off of one of our planets. And she said it caused concern because we had been at war with some interdimensional creatures. And she said, we thought that maybe this was like another attack, like this was a staging area where they had staged an attack and they were investigating us, and they found us, and they've been, and I guess they happened on me out in the oil fields of Texas, and they followed me home, and they've been studying me, and she was speaking English with her mouth, not with her mind. I could see her mouth moving. And the other one that looked like a cat, she could talk English too. But she had a real struggle making words. You could tell that it was almost comical because she couldn't hardly make an F. But like a person who has a speech impediment, she would rearrange her language so that she could better pronounce it. And me and the other ET are looking at her while she said she was their geneticist. So the cat lady was their geneticist. And but she gave me a brief rundown on they thought we were, you know, they had been at war with some other, they have a bunch of planets and stuff near a black hole where they have a community. It's like a interstellar community, and they're intelligent creatures, and there's more than one planet of them, and they were attacked, which. And they said it would be a concern to us too. They could be, if we could get the attention of the wrong creatures out in space, we could be attacked just like they were. And they weren't.
Right.
They did not have interdimensional technology at the time. They had interstellar technology where they could travel amongst the planets, but they couldn't go to the other dimensions. And they were attacked by these creatures, and that came from another dimension. And at one point, they finally managed to kill one of them and destroy its ship, and it is like an interstellar Grand Canyon. It was like people from other planets go to see the creature they killed and to see the ship that they shot down. And once these guys realized that these guys had the technology to take them out, the invasion stopped. And they thought we were in cahoots, or maybe this was a staging area for one of their attacks. So they came over here and they found out, and they learned our language because they've been here a long time. And they finally come to realize that we're not, and she even referred to these creatures as the fallen angels. She said that your historical records of the fallen angels sound like the people who attacked us and who we're at war with. And she said, you know, she said that we found you, we studied you, we thought that you were part of them or associated with them, and now we've watched you long enough to realize that that's not the case. And I said, one of the things we want to talk to you about is how the people of our world have tasked us with making communication with the people of your world. And she said, we want to ask you how to go about doing that. And I told her, I said, well, you know, you might be better off talking to somebody in the government. I said, nobody's going to believe me. I said, I'm just an old oil field worker with a high school education. Ain't nobody going to believe anything I say. I can't even get people to believe what I've already seen.
Right,
and they're pretty frustrated that there's 8 billion people on the earth and there's nobody they can go to open a line of communication with us because we don't believe anyone. They could tell Trump or they could tell Biden, and everybody would just say he was nuts or crazy, and they wouldn't believe him either, you know. So the ET are frustrated on how they make contact. And they said, well, you know, how do we go about making contact? And I thought about it. I said, well, you know, I said, if you give me a, give me some proof that I could take to the scholars and skeptics, something that can have come from Earth, that had to come from somewhere else, maybe I could take it to the scholars and skeptics, convince them that I'm in communication with you. And I thought, well, you know, I was thinking to myself, going, man, you know, this is a pretty important conversation I'm having, and it was like, I don't want to screw it up for everybody in the whole world. And I'm thinking, you know what? If, even if they did do that, somebody would probably just, the government would probably just take it from me and lock me away in a prison somewhere. And I'm thinking, wow, that would not, probably not, would I really want something like that? That could cause me and my family a lot of grief trying to, and I said, you know what? I said, the best thing you could do, I said, bring a giant ship in here. I said, circle the globe until everybody on Earth has seen it. And I said, that would be the best thing that you could do. And I still, I think that would be the best thing they could do. And
yeah,
the geneticist, yeah. The cat lady geneticist lady, she said, you know, she said, you guys are very close to being able to cure most of your diseases. She said, you're, and that, you have to realize at the time, she said that you're, double helix model. It's very similar to ours. She said, we use a triple helix. And she was going into some stuff that I couldn't even begin to fathom. I mean, probably she was somebody a lot smarter should have been there than me. And she was rambling on, and I was like, oh, whoa, whoa, you're like way over my head here. I'm not. But I didn't even, double helix really wasn't even a word in my vocabulary. I, you know, I had to, after I got back, I had to look up on Google, go, what the hell double helix even meant? It's a, double helix is their DNA genetic model. It looks like a stairway, you know. And she said they use a triple helix. And I'm, she said, well, you can, you should they should modify our double helix model to a triple helix model. I mean, it would help us to be able to cure most of our diseases, she goes, but then immediately you'd be struggling with overpopulation. You know, she said, and that's the reason we can't just give you all the answers is because it would, you'd be so overpopulated in no time that it would cause more harm than good, you know. So I'm like, wow, yeah, we're kind of between a rock and a hard place, it sounds like. And the weird thing was I said, and I had had a conversation with Stan Freeman at the Roswell UFO Festival, and I showed him the pictures that I had taken. And he was talking, he was there with Don Schmidt. And I said, well, if I get a chance to talk to these guys, because this was 2016. And I said, right. If I get a chance to talk to these guys, I said, I'm just an old truck driver. I said, what the hell should I ask them? You know, I said, I want to ask somebody smarter than me. And I think Don Schmidt said, he said, tell them, ask them how they got here. And then Stanton looked at Don. He goes, no. He said, tell them to show you how they got here. And so I had this conversation with these guys, and I here I am talking to ET, and I remember that conversation, and I'm like, okay, I said, can you show me how you got here? And they kind of looked frustrated at me, you know, like, we don't really got time for this, you know. And she goes, yeah, okay, yeah, you could. I said, she goes, if you want to see where I came from, she said, the blue lady. We said, if you want to see where I came from, all you have to do is walk through your wall right there, and you'll be able to see where I come from. And I'm going, okay, seriously, all right. And she goes, yeah, just go through the wall right here. On the other side of the wall, you'll be able to see where I come from. And I'm okay. And I realized that she wants me to walk through the wall. So in my wall right there where I had to walk through, there's a picture about face high. It's got a glass over it. And I started pushing against it, and I could feel the glass going into my nose and going in my face. And I was afraid that the glass was going to break and it's going to cut my face. So I was going very slow, which really seemed like it irritated the hell out of them, because they said, you'll be fine. Just go move through it. You can move through solid matter. Just go, you know, just go. And I started going. I could feel the glass going through my face. I could feel the sheetrock in the wall passing through my stomachs. Now, it didn't hurt, but it was a very odd, uncomfortable feeling to feel something inside your stomach other than the stuff that's supposed to be there. And I was like, it's very uncomfortable moving through this solid matter, because I could feel it passing through every portion of my body. And then, I don't know, there might have been some misunderstanding there, because I think she wanted me to look through the wall, but I took it that she wanted me to walk through the wall. And I started going through the wall on the other side, and I thought, well, I'm just going to take one big step and get it over with because I don't like the way it's making me feel. So I took one big step. Next thing you know, I'm floating in outer space somewhere, and I'm zero gravity. Now, I ain't got to have air to breathe. I didn't feel cold. I didn't feel the coldness of space. But I was in zero gravity. I was in outer space, and I was looking, and there was a whole bunch of planets. There was like a black hole up in their sky. And it was surrounded by hundreds of thousands of planets being sucked into it and torn apart. And I'm like, my God! I mean, it looks like the sky, but it doesn't look like our sky. This is like a galactic center somewhere. God only knows where this is at. Mm-hmm. And off to my left, there's a planet. I mean, it's close. It was like I'm about where the space station is at, and maybe even a little bit closer. Because I could see that it has three major continents. It's got very thin oceans between the continents. It's got a frosty north and south pole, but it didn't look like it had a lot of snow and ice like our planet has. And it had a jungle area close to the ocean. I only seen one major lake. And then it had a large desert area. Way more desert area than it was a jungle area. And I was watching all this. I could see the planet rotating. I could see this ugly rocky moon came between me and the planet while I was there, and the whole time I'm doing this slow forward flip, and I'm going, oh, I'm, you know, like turning, man. So, and then I'm going like sideways, and I'm taking it. I'm taking everything in because I'm going, man, this is important. Take everything in you can possibly see. So I'm looking at everything, and looking at the black hole. I'm looking at the planet. And I'm looking at. And I didn't see not one cloud over the planet, but it looked like you could almost see moisture floating in the atmosphere, but not clouds like we have clouds.
Right.
And I'm doing this slow forward. My head's going down. Now I'm upside down. My head is down. My feet are up. And I'm thinking, wow, okay, this is weird. And I'm thinking, well, I'm kind of getting sick to my stomach looking at all this stuff. And then all of a sudden I thought, well, this is a good chance for me to look at what I just came from behind me. So I'm coming back up, and I'm looking. I'm seeing where I just came out of. What the hell? How the hell did I get here? You know, I took one step too many, and next thing you know, I'm out of space. Okay, when my head started to come back up, I looked at what I just came out of. It's a solid black box. Black crystalline box floating in outer space, no technology, no lights on it, just a big, shiny, crystal black box floating in outer space off this planet is what I just took a step out of. Outside that box is a whole nother galaxy. God only knows where it's at. Inside that damn thing is my bedroom where my body is still sleeping peacefully. And how the hell this could all take place and happen, I have no idea. I don't know how this works. I have no idea how this works. But I've seen it. It's just a black crystalline box. As I was turning up, and I was like, and finally I got back up again, and I'm looking around, and there's planets everywhere. I mean, they could travel between the planets because the distance is a whole lot closer than the planets here. You know, our nearest partner planets are, you know, light years away. But over here, man, I guarantee you, it looked like they were close, you know. I'm like, my goodness. It was like they wouldn't have near the trip that we'd have to make to explore whole other solar systems. But they're all being sucked in by this black hole. I could see gravity waves coming from the black hole area. It was like you could see these waves like moving across the area, like the planet and everything. And I'm like, I don't know if it's waves from the black hole. I don't know if they transported me up into a ship and I was floating in zero gravity looking at some kind of projection on the ship walls, or if this was an actual interstellar planet that they transported me to, or I fell into or something. It's really weird, man. But anyway, they dragged me back. I'm wondering how I'm going to get out of this. Am I going to float out here in space forever? How the hell am I going to get back? Well, I could feel one of them. One of them grabs me on the shoulder, and I'm grabbing her hand so that she could pull me back. And she pulled me back through the wall, and I'm afraid I'm going to slip out of her grasp because I'm flipping around real bad. And I realized that if I slip out of her grasp, I'm probably going to be floating off out in outer space somewhere. So I'm trying to help hold, because you have to realize, yeah, this is not solid matter. This is like, you can't put much of a grip on anything because your hand will go right through it. And so I'm trying to help her not lose me, and she pulls me back through the wall, and I'm thinking, my God, it feels good to be back here on Earth, in my bedroom. And I said, my God, it's good to be back, you know. And my wife comes walking through the bedroom, going to the bathroom. I'm sitting there talking to 2ET. Here's my wife walking through the bedroom, and I'm thinking, and I look at her and like, you don't see me standing here talking to 2ET women? And she's like 12 feet away, walks right by us. And she said, yeah, she said, this is, you know, we can hear and see everything you guys do, but you can't see or hear us at all. And my wife walked to the bathroom, and she was in there for just a minute. She came back through the bedroom and walked right by us again. And when she come back through, she stopped and she paused, and she looked over towards us, and it freaked the cat lady out, because the cat lady, when she looked over at us and stopped, she looked at the blue lady and she said, can she see us? And the blue lady said, no. She said, she can't see us. She's looking at him. I mean, she's pointing at my body laying in bed there. And she stopped for just a second, and then she walked on through the bedroom. Later, I asked her, I said, why did you do that? She said, well, you have sleep apnea. And she goes, I worried you're going to stop breathing. You know, so she goes, I'll stop. I'll pause. I see your chest going up and down. I know you're all right. I go about my business. You know, I had no idea she did that, but I got to see it firsthand from a third-person perspective, you know.
Right.
I had no idea she even did that, but I saw that. You know, how would I even know that? You know, I'm not going to dream something I don't know, because I've seen it. I've seen it all happen, you know. And then it gets weird after that, because they said they've been tasked with collecting a genetic sample from me, and I'm going. And at that point, I was like, okay, well, you know, this is really important. I'm like, yeah, just whatever you need, I'll be happy to give you. And I said, whatever it takes for the people of our world, the people of your world, to make contact and to get along, I said, nah, you know, I'd be happy to do whatever I can do to help make this happen. And she goes, okay. And I thinking, well, my God, you know, no telling what they're going to do to me, but I'm going to take one for the team, I guess. And anyway, she told me at that point, she said, if you wouldn't mind, she said, our geneticist, she said, if you just have sex with her, she could get everything she needed from that. And I'm going, did she just say sex? Now, I just met these two aliens, and they want me to have sex with one of them? And even the blue lady kind of whispered in my ear. She goes, look, she said, on her planet, she said, they have sex like the people of your world, smile and shake hands. And she goes, yeah. She goes, she said it's nothing more than an American inconvenience for her. I mean, and I'm like, wow, that is very odd. You know, I said, I don't even know if I could even pull that off, you know. But she said, well, I'll step out and give you some privacy. And anyway, so the catwoman, she starts taking her, and they're wearing clothes. They're wearing Earth clothes because they told me at one point, she said, well, the clothing we're wearing, we've been studying said your world is already affecting our world just from watching your world. They said in our world we don't really wear clothes. We don't really have clothes. The only time they wear clothes is like when they're celebrating certain activities and stuff. And they have dress that they wear, but they don't wear common clothes during the normal day. And they said some of our clothing items have gotten very popular on their planet, and they make them out of their materials that mimic what our clothing looks like. So our clothing has become popular with some of the women folk there, much to the guy's chagrin from the way she talks. And some of the men don't really like having to wait for the women to disrobe before they have sex. You know? And I'm like, But our world's already screwing their world up. They hadn't even met us. They hadn't even got to know us yet, you know. So anyway, so they're wearing, I mean, the blue lady, she was wearing, looked like, she was wearing, looked like athletic clothes, you know. And the cat lady, she was wearing like designer jeans and a white blouse. It was just a plain white blouse. And she had like jeans on with it. And it didn't look like either one of them were really wearing any kind of shoes. And the cat lady's feet were really wide, and they were, I was thinking to myself, man, those are really ugly feet. I mean, there's tufts of hair coming up between her toes. And I was like, wow, you know. And her face was really pretty, except for the point that it turned into a lion's mouth, you know. She had beautiful eyes and eyebrows and face structure, but then her nose turned into a lion's mouth, which was kind of weird. But anyway, the blue lady left the room, and the cat lady starts disrobing, and then when she takes the jeans off, I realize she's got a damn tail wrapped around her waist, and I mean, this is a big tail. This thing, and she looked at me, she said, I've been watching you and your wife, and she said, I want you to make me feel like she feels, and she jumped up on the bed in the same sexual position that me and my wife had frequented like a week earlier, and even my wife had said, I swore I see something in the dark looking at us. And she said it was creepy as hell, and she said, I just didn't want to look anymore, so I just turned away. And I was thinking, oh, my God, is that what she was talking about? She said she thought it felt like something was watching us, you know? And anyway, she jumps up there on this bed, and I'm like, my God, I didn't realize it, but she has these black stripes all around her waist. They go all the way back down the back of her legs and everything. She's got tan, like it's almost like a light fur, a light thin fur with black stripes, more like zebra stripes, really, that run around both sides of her. And I was thinking, wow, man, I mean, she is really wild looking, very muscular, and got this tail, and this tail is flipping back and forth, almost touching the ceiling. And it's got a big fluffy end on it and stuff, and I'm going, my God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off or not, you know? And anyway, so I was like, I don't know if I can pull this off. And guess who comes walking through the room? And here comes my wife again walking through the room, you know? I'm going, whoa, oh, my God, you know? And she's walking through the bathroom again. And she goes, she can't see her here. And she said, it's not like you're physically cheating. And she said, your physical body's sleeping there in the bed. And I'm looking, and I'm going, oh, my God, she's right. You know, it's not like a physical cheating. It's like whatever the hell it is. I don't know what kind of cheating it is, but it felt like some kind of cheating. And anyway, my wife comes walking back out of the room, and she says, excuse me, lady. And I mean, she's talking real loud, almost like she's yelling at my wife, like 3 feet from her. And my wife just walks right by. She didn't see or hear anything. And she goes, they can't, like she said, you guys can't hear us, see us when we're here. And I was like, man, these guys have been walking through a White House. They can go anywhere. They can walk through walls. I mean, they know there's no hiding anything from these guys. I mean, there's no secrets. They can go anywhere, and they walk right amongst us. They could be one right next to us right now. We wouldn't even know it. And it's almost like a ghost dimension. And I was like wondering if a lot of the paranormal activity that I'd caught on camera, and perhaps some of the ghost stuff that's being captured, is that perhaps ET stealth technology. And like I said, when I was here, I never saw any ghosts, you know, but who knows, that maybe a ghost could have walked in the room and I was seeing them too, you know, I don't know.
I think there's something to that. I think it's the energy that the ETs use. It's the same kind of energy that paranormal activity is attracted to. So I think they're probably both a lot more common than we think. But I know some of the people I have interviewed that have experienced UFO or alien contact, they are also the same people who have experienced some paranormal stuff. So for me, there's some overlap there. I think there's some definite overlap.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and we had a little bit more conversation, and the blue lady, at one point I got really close to her face, and I wanted to look. Her eyes were so big and beautiful, man. I wanted to look deep. I wanted to look in her eyes, because they had a weird color to them. And they were blue,
right, right.
And they had white speckles in them, and I got really close to her face, and it freaked her out. Now, the cat lady, she's all about physical contact. She was holding my hand a lot of the time. Now, I don't know if it was because she feared that I would run away or why she was holding my hand, but it didn't seem like she was aggressively holding my hand. It would just seem like
right.
She liked the physical contact. At one point, I pulled my hand away from her, and it almost like it hurt her feelings. But I just grabbed
right,
her
right.
arm, and I turned her hand over so I could look at it. In her hand, she had these calluses like on a cat's paw. And they were between
mm-hmm.
every digit of her human-looking fingers. I mean, so she had these pads on her hands, and her hand felt like a leather glove when I was holding it. And I pulled away from her just to get a good look at her hand. And she had these pads in between the digits of her human-looking fingers, and even on the palm of her hand. And I'm like, wow, that's why it felt like she had a leather glove on, but it was her actual hand. Like, she'd probably be very comfortable. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure she could probably run on all fours if she wanted to. And but anyway, I held her hand again, and, you know, because it acted like it hurt her feelings when I pulled away. So I held her hand again, and the blue lady, when I got really close to her, you know, she said, you know, tell the people of your world, when people of our world and your world make contact, all that we ask is that there be no physical contact without permission. In other words, they want us to ask permission before you hug them or shake their hand or embrace them or anything like that. I guess that's the way it's done. They want you to ask permission. You know, no physical contact
right.
without first prior approval by permission, verbal request or whatever. And I'm thinking,
right, right.
okay, well, the blue lady, she certainly didn't want no contact. But the cat
right.
lady completely opposite. I mean, she don't even mind having sex to collect biological samples. I mean, my God, you know, just nothing to them. And it comes time to go back into my physical body. I'm going, well, how does this work? She said, all you have to do is just lay on yourself, you know. So I walked over beside the bed, and I laid on the body sleeping in the bed, and I didn't sink into it or nothing. I looked at him like, man, these guys may not be real good at this. And I said, it ain't working. And she said, okay, stand back up. So I stood back up. She said, okay, now leap onto yourself. And this time I did a little leap onto myself, and, man, it felt like I fell 6 feet. Man, my
yeah.
stomach just, oh, man,
yeah.
when I hit, and my physical body woke up. And I looked around the room, and it looked identical. The light coming in from the windows was identical to what I was just looking at. And I had a feeling, and I said, they're still standing there watching me, and I waved at them. You know, I'm here in my physical body back here in my bedroom, and I actually waved at them because I know they were still standing there watching me, and I know I'm at the point now where I can't see or hear them. So I actually give them a wave. And
and
I didn't have any contact with them for a while. And February 2020 was when I had contact with them again. And I know they at one point during the conversation, she said that she said save some of the genetics for the clone project or whatever. So I thought, I know what a clone project, they're going to clone me. They're going to take those genetic samples and make a clone of me. And come to find out, 2.5 years later, they pull me out of my physical body. But this time I'm not in my bedroom. This time I'm somewhere. I'm like in almost like a glass coffin thing, and they open the door on it. There's these two guys. They grab me and they pull me out, and I'm not knowing. I don't realize at first that I'm in the clone body that they had made. It feels like I was in my body.
Right.
But they
right.
had put me in this clone. They had transferred my consciousness from Earth to this other planet where I was at, and I was inside an operating room. It was like a And this wasn't an Earth operating room. This was like a ET operating room. And there was like three doctors in there. It looked like one male, and there was two nurses, and then the third one was actually what I believe the cat lady ET, but it was hard to tell because they all had PPE on. They all had this, like they were some kind of a shrink wrap PPE on them. But you could tell by the size of their eyes that they weren't human.
Right. Yeah.
Now you have to realize the cat lady, she had human-sized eyes. And I could tell that was her just by the size of her eyes. And I could tell by the way her mask was that she definitely didn't look like the other ones. The other ones looked like they were like the blue lady's type of alien. But the cat lady, she could tell that her mask looked different and she had human-sized eyes, not the big eyes. Now the guys that pulled me out of the glass coffin-looking thing, they looked human. They looked like they were wearing some kind of weird Jack LaLanne-looking exercise. Yeah, LaLanne exercise suit, you know, muscular guys, military age. And they helped me up, and I said, all right, okay, I'm good. And I tried to walk, and my knees would just quit working, and I would fall, and I'd fall into something. And then at one point I fell into some kind of machine they had in this surgery room. Not any kind of machine like I've ever seen, but I fell into this thing and hit it pretty hard. And that doctor got very angry and told them that they got to escort me out of there until I get stabilized or whatever. So basically, they have to escort me out of this thing. And I come to this. There's a wall there. It's a hazy looking wall. It's an airfoil. It's like the pressure on both sides of it are different. And they told me the cat lady came up there. She goes, now look, when you walk through this thing, you're going to break it. Just keep going. And she said, don't stand in it. We're losing our surgical environment. And when you walk through it, you can feel the air rushing by it. Like the pressure from the outside it is different than the pressure inside it. And they don't want you breaking this plane for too long. You're just supposed to walk through it. And I walked through it. I could feel the air rushing by my face. And then I walked out and looked like a mash tent. It was like a green surgical mash tent with a flap door on it. And I walk out, and there's like 200 houses, and there's green fields. I didn't see one tree, but it looks like you're off in Kansas somewhere, Kansas or Nebraska somewhere. Tall rolling hills with green grass on it. About 200 houses. They had streets running between them, and they looked like they were 50s-style houses. I mean, they still had the front porch built into the framework of the house, not like the modern houses do where they have the wraparound. These look like older houses. I didn't see any clotheslines or lawnmowers or anything that looked like humans were living in any of these places. They had modern streets that run between them. I didn't see any car anywhere on the place. And I'm walking out there, and I'm still, there's parts of my body that just quit working. It worked fine, and then it would just stop and hang up. At one point, I was moving my hand to touch my face, and my hand just froze. And I tried to move it harder so I could touch, and it was like my hand just locked up, and I tried to move it harder, and then it unfroze, and I hit myself in the nose so hard that it felt like my nose was almost starting to bleed. And they said, look, they said, you'll be all right. It takes a little time, you know, for everything to start working. And they said, they set me down beside the street on the curb and trying to get everything working. And I'm like, my God. And then there's a weird looking guy. Now there's this guy here. Looks like he's on vacation. He's wearing Bahama shorts. He's wearing his plaid shirt. He's got a big straw hat. It looks like some kind of farmer. And he comes walking up. And she goes, hey, say hello to Ronnie Dawson. He goes, yeah. He said, I'm familiar with Ronnie Dawson. And she said, no. She said, the Ronnie Dawson from back there. And he goes, and this guy's got a British accent. And then the guy's going, oh my God. He goes, the Ronnie Dawson from back there. He goes, all right. He goes, yeah. So he had met the body before, but he hasn't met me, my physical consciousness from Earth before.
Right.
And he was all excited, you know, hey, your first trip, hey, all right. You know, he's talking his British accent and shit, and I'm like, well, I said, and I'm like, all right, finally, Earth, somebody from Earth here with me. And I'm going, where the hell are we? He goes, I guess you figure it out. It's not Earth. And I said, I was thinking it's probably not Earth. And he said, look at that sun. He said, that'd be your first clue. And I looked up at the sun, and the sun was larger than our sun and not as bright as our sun. And you could actually stare at it for a few seconds before it started hurting your eyes. And it was much larger in the sky. And I said, oh, my God, yeah, that is definitely not our sun. He goes, nah. He goes, I don't know where this is at. And I said, well, what? I said, what the hell are you doing here? And he said, well, he said, I'm here to get the I'm here to get the penile augmentation. He said they were looking for alien contactees over the age of 55 who were suffering from sexual dysfunction, who wanted to get an alien augmentation. He said, you were the first. He said I'm supposed to be the second. And he said reward. He said, my wife, she never really believed my UFO experiences. And he said, but if I get this thing, and he said that they've told me that they'll bring her here, and it'll prove to her finally that I'm not crazy. And I thought, okay, well, and I said, now hold on just a damn minute. He said, alien penile augmentation, what in the hell? And he said, you were the first. And I thought, so I had these stretchy shorts on. And I had these, like, tube socks. I don't wear tube socks anymore. And I looked at the shoes I was wearing, and these are like some kind of Converse lace-up. But they didn't look like Converse. They were different. You could tell that these were alien version Converse lace-ups, you know. Like, the toes were too big on them, you know. And I'm like, okay, these look like Converse shoes, and I don't wear Converse shoes. I ain't worn them since I played high school high school basketball back when I was in junior high, you know. And I'm going, okay. And I thought, oh, my God. And I pull them stretchy shorts back and look off in there, and what is in there is not what I see every morning. This penis is very thin and long. It's 17 inches long, and it looks like a gut just laying there in my damn stretchy shorts. And I'm like, holy hell. The cat then comes out. And when these guys, I mean, they're busy. They ain't got a lot of time to answer questions. They're doing a bunch of talking and conversation or nothing like that. And she said, yeah, you know, you said you were willing to help us. Are you still wanting to help us, you know? And she goes, the reason we've got you here is that we wanted to transfer your consciousness and see if we could we could transfer your consciousness into the clone. She goes, she said we put an alien penile augmentation on the clone so you could better interact with the female cat people, and because they're suffering from some kind of genetic disease or something like that that's causing reproduction problems. And they're trying to work around that.
We're going to run out of time here, so I'm going to have you back.
Okay.
A very, very interesting story, and thank you so much for being on the show.
It's an honor.
This conversation.
All right.
Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you, Kelly. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.